Thanks for praising the Lord. Today, we are moving through the whole first chapter of Genesis. This is our creation story, and it's a beautiful piece of liturgy. And you're 11 o'clock people, which means you know all about liturgy. And liturgy is when we say things over and over and over again, but it gives us a rhythm to our life and a rhythm to our worship. And so listen for the rhythms of this beautiful creation story. Listen for the word of the Lord as it comes to us in Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And then God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and God called the waters that were gathered together seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on the earth that bear fruit with seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to continue with our creation liturgy now in verse 20. Listen again for the word of the Lord. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." And so God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird in the air and everything that creeps on the earth and everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We made it. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that the same Holy Spirit that brooded over the waters, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writing of these words, would inspire our hearing of them. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Chaos. God knows all about our chaos. You see, way back in the Bible, when our people, God's people, were living in exile in Babylon, their lives were filled with chaos. So somewhere in the middle of our Old Testaments, so not in the middle of your Bible, but in the middle of your Old Testament, the Babylonian army is going to come in and overtake our people, God's people, as we're living in Israel, and force most of us to go live in exile in a land called Babylon. There's a fancy name for this. It's called the Babylonian captivity. Because we were captive to the people of Babylon. We had to do what they say and live what they where they told us to live. We call it the Babylonian captivity, but really I just call it total chaos. It was the time of total chaos in the lives of the people. Have you ever had to move? Raise your hand if you've ever had to move, just down the street or across the world. Yeah, it's chaos, right? Moving sends your life into chaos. That's what happened to our people in the Old Testament. They had to pack up their homes and their families and their pets and move to Babylon. They had to find new places to live. They had to find new jobs. They had to go to new schools. They had to get new friends. Mom and dad had to find new ways to care for them. Oh, it was total chaos. Mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas would fall into bed every night from exhaustion, just trying to manage the chaos of life in a new country. I mean, people didn't even speak the same language. They didn't even eat the same food. Imagine going to the grocery store. It's chaos. Mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas were exhausted from managing the chaos in their family's life. And they still had to work, and they had to play, and they had to take care of aging parents, and they had to take care of kids. And people had school and tests and star tests and exams, and they had to plan family vacation. And they were running on fumes. Everybody was running on fumes. But what made the adults more sad than anything else was that no matter how hard they tried, they felt like they couldn't do anything well. No matter how hard they tried, they just couldn't do anything well because they were doing so much. And so the priests and the storytellers and the elders of the people of God, they got together and they wrote down the story. The ancient, ancient love story of how God created to be in relationship with humans. And so they wrote down Genesis 1. That's the love story. It's a love story to remind the people of God living in exile who they were and whose they were, and to tell them about the God who could redeem their chaos. So if you're sticking with me this morning, you're like, wait a minute. We're talking about Genesis 1. So how did Genesis 1 end up like in the middle of our people's story? Okay, good question. So Am I saying that Genesis 1 was written by the priestly writers during the Babylonian captivity? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. So, Genesis 1 is at the beginning of our Bible because it's the beginning of our story. It's where it all began. God creates, and God creates us, and we learn about being in relationship with God. That's at the beginning because it's at the beginning of our story. This story was shared around campfires, generation after generation. It's an ancient and true story, but it wasn't until our people were in exile, living with like Babylonian religion and Babylonian gods and in total chaos, it wasn't until then that the priests and the storytellers and the elders says, we ought to write this down, lest the people forget about the God who created and the God who loves them. It's like when you were a kid and maybe you went to a family reunion. And at the family reunion, the adults would tell the same story every year, same story over and over again. But the adults would argue with one another about the details, right? But the story was the same. And now that you're an adult, you can't remember that story very well. You wish they would have written it down, because you know that was an important story in the life of your family, and now you can't remember it. That's why they wrote it down. They wrote it down so all the future generations would remember the love story between God and the people and how they were created and how God is always redeeming their chaos. You and I, we are actually living in the chaos of captivity. I know you don't call it that. No one posts on Facebook living in the chaos of captivity. I know. But you are. We are, right? We are held captive by our schedules. We are held captive by all the demands on our life, right? We have so much we needed to do yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It just makes your head swim. Hopefully, already as a family, you have sat down, you've tried to create a little Sabbath time, you've tried to like create some space, some breathing room in your life, but after you get done with all that, there's still no way you can focus on one person and one project at a time. Too many demands, too many things going on, and pretty soon you discover that, yeah, you're living captive to your schedule, captive to the demands in your life. Me too. And then we wake up one day and we're just angry, or more it's like around 3 p.m. We just get angry because we're like, we cannot do anything well. We try our best and we feel like we can't do anything well in our life. That's what it feels like to be in the chaos of captivity. And if you're living there, Genesis 1 is your gospel. That's your good news, because Genesis 1 is about the God who steps into the chaos of the unordered deep and starts to organize it, right? God creates, and God divides, and God orders, and day after day, until suddenly God has created out of the chaos a beautiful and very Presbyterian, very orderly creation, right? We love that. And then God looks at all of it and says, oh, this is so good. This is so good. This is good news for us, because it means that that same God steps into the chaos of our life and orders it and creates and divides and makes things more beautiful than we could ever imagine, and certainly more amazing than we could ever pull off ourselves. As Presbyterians, we believe we are saved by grace through faith, right? We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Guys, that's not like a one-time event. That's not just like your baptism or confirmation or church camp. When we look at Genesis 1 and God ordering the chaos, we see, whoa, we're saved by God's grace through faith every minute of our life, right? When we have a presentation at work and it goes so well and we did not prepare at all, right? We are saved by the grace of God. When we discover that our children turn out half decently despite the fact that they were born without an instruction manual, right? Whoa, better than we could ever imagine. God ordering our chaos. We're saved by grace. Maybe there's a relationship in our life that is on the rocks and occasionally gets like duct taped together enough that it'll function, saved by the grace of God. That's what it's all about. God saving us day after day, ordering our chaos, creating things more beautiful than we could ever pull off on our own. Was the world created in 7 literal days? Is one day like 1,000 in God's eyes? Is Genesis 1 a beautiful piece of ancient poetry, a true story about God who creates and is always in relationship with the creation? What about the dinosaurs? Did God create out of nothing, which is Genesis 1:1, or did God create out of the unordered deep, which is Genesis 1:2? I have no idea. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Seriously. That's not my calling, okay? My calling is to be like the priests and the storytellers in the Bible. My calling is to help us all look at the hot mess that is our life and try to figure out what is Jesus Christ doing to order our chaos and bring about things more beautiful than we could have ever pulled off ourselves. That's my calling. I am not so interested in God's recipe for moon and stars and sunshine and rainbows. That's somebody else's calling. What's our calling? Our calling is to let it be. I want you to say that this morning. Let it be. There you go. I have prayed about this, and I think that Ringo and George and Paul and John, the Beatles, right? I think they were right. I think we're called, when it comes to the chaos of our life, to do what we can, to do our best, and then let it be, and let God do the rest. Sounds a little cheesy, but it's true. Let it be and let God do the rest. I want you to look at your creation narrative. This might be disappointing to some of you, but we're not the only creation narrative out there, right? Okay, archaeologist Neil is shaking his head. That's correct, right? Every people have a creation narrative. All religions have a creation narrative. Let me tell you what makes ours unique. What makes ours unique, especially among Mesopotamian creation stories, which is what ours is how God, the Creator, is in relationship and conversation with the creation God is creating. So this whole thing was like a beautiful liturgy, I called it, a beautiful conversation. God is not an angry Greek god who jams together an earth, dumps some people on it, and then just watches it like a gladiator arena to be like, wonder what's going to happen next. This should be interesting. That's not our creation story. Our creation story is a God who says, let there be light. Let it be. Let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be birds. Let there be animals. It's like a conversation for 6 beautiful days as God's in conversation with that God has created until God creates us. And we see in Genesis 2, God gets into creation, gets into conversation with us, the humans. Let it be. God graciously creates. And so what we see in Genesis 1 is God stepping into the chaos and graciously, with a word, let there be light, ordering the chaos. And then what we see in our lives, New Testament, stay with me, is God sending a gracious word, who is Jesus Christ, who orders our chaos of our lives. God graciously orders in the Old Testament and now in our lives with a gracious word. But we call it Jesus Christ. It's the person of Christ. That's who's ordering our chaos. Bottom line, 24 hours from now, you're in traffic in Austin, and you're like, God, I can't do anything well. That's about right. But Jesus can do a lot of things well with the chaos of your life. And so when you have that breakdown this week, hopefully it's later rather than sooner, remember This is the God who put the planets in orbit. This is the God who taught the birds how to migrate. This is the God who got our people out of exile and back to their homeland. That's the God who's ordering your chaos this week. And so just let it be and let God do the rest. Let us pray. God, our lives are a mess. It's constant chaos. There's so many people that need us to be in the same place at the same time. And if it was just chaos, it would be depressing. But you show up and you order things and you make beautiful things happen in the midst of our best efforts. As we try to be a blessing to our family, to our friends, to our coworkers, to the people at our school, step in, God. Order the chaos of our best efforts and make something more beautiful than we could ever imagine come to pass. And teach us to just let it be. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.